listen to the best of the church's music for the Advent season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Advent season, LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sometimes it's a conundrum. Why is it that marriages fall apart? When you could see that there is a correlation between, say, weekly church attendance, worship attendance, and marriages staying together, does it mean that if people don't go to church, their marriages are more likely to fail? Or kind of the chicken and the egg conundrum, is it because marriages that are in trouble tend to, well, isolate those people who are in them, and they're less likely to go to church? We're going to talk about a new study on religious service attendance, marriage, divorce, and health. Dr. Brad Wilcox joins us. He's senior fellow for the Institute for Family Studies in Charlottesville, Virginia, director of the National Marriage Project at the University of Virginia, co-author of Gender and Parenthood, Biological and Social Scientific Perspectives. Dr. Wilcox, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Todd, it's good to be here tonight.
Can we say it's a chicken or egg question that people who attend services are more likely to have healthy marriages, or perhaps maybe people who are in unhealthy marriages are less likely to attend services?
Well, you know, Todd, it certainly is the case that when couples are struggling in their marriage, they're more likely to, you know, oftentimes to pull back from church going. And, you know, that can sort of make a situation more difficult for them. But what this study does is it looks too at changes in religious attendance. So people who are going, you know, more often for one reason or another, see a reduction in their odds of divorce. And the people who don't experience a decline, at least initially in their marriage, but start going less often to church, also are more likely to experience divorce. So what I'm saying is they're looking at a variety of different sort of patterns of church going. And what they basically find is that sort of steady churchgoers divorce less. Those who start going to church more often, for one reason or another, are divorcing less. But those who drop off are more likely to, you know, to divorce. And it could be that, you know, the scenario that you've just painted for us, but it does seem, given all the different combinations, there's something about church going per se that helps people avoid divorce court.
Well, let's talk about what you guys have called the kind of the logical possibilities that may be at work here. Religious teachings will often indicate that marriage itself is a sacred institution. What does that have to do with this entire question?
Well, you know, if you think about your marriage as something more than just a means for personal fulfillment or satisfaction, but as a, you know, as a vocation, for instance, or as a covenant before God or something else of a more spiritual nature, the idea is you're more likely to stick with your spouse, to stick with your marriage when the going gets tough. That's part of the story. That there's this way in which marriage is seen as a sacred undertaking, a sacred relationship, and that sort of ups the stakes for people who are married.
There are also religious teachings in many religions, not only Christianity, that have some very definite prohibitions or discouragements for divorce itself, aren't there?
Yeah, so obviously many religious traditions discourage divorce, and also they encourage, you know, virtues like forgiveness, the golden rule, or, you know, an ethic of sacrifice, all those kinds of virtues and value that are associated with church going in the U.S. and with other traditions oftentimes as well, are linked to lower divorce because people are less likely to experience the conflict and friction that can lead to divorce.
Can a further line be drawn between some of the, I guess for lack of a better word, a generic term, the resources that may be available to regular religious service attenders that would be helpful in either maintaining a healthy marriage or in dealing with an unhealthy one?
Yeah, I mean, I think one thing that we see is that people who attend church are more likely to have a network of friends who are there to support them when the going gets tough, maybe lose a job or something like that. And also when you know, when they're otherwise struggling in their marriage. And then also, of course, too, to kind of keep them on the straight and narrow path. I mean, I think people who are, in fact, I know that people who are church-going are less likely to commit infidelity. And I think part of the story there is that, you know, they have a network of friends, you know, with whom they hang out with, might have lunch with, whatever. And that network of friends is not going to be, you know, as, you know, supportive or accepting or accommodating of any behavior that might either lead to infidelity or involve infidelity.
There's some other findings here, Dr. Wilcox, that may not be directly attributable, but they might be indirectly attributable. And that is, there is some indication that regular church attendance has benefits in one's life, health benefits and things like that, that may not exacerbate a troubled marriage.
Yeah. So for instance, I mean, people who are regularly going to church are less likely to be depressed, and, you know, they're more likely to be happy. And of course those, you know, those psychological benefits, if you will, of church going for the average person can rub off on their marriage. Now, it's important in all of this, again, to stress the idea that, you know, going to church is not a panacea, that people go to church can be depressed, they can be unhappy, they can experience marital difficulty. What it is suggesting to us, though, is that for many people, church going is a benefit and can buffer against the stresses in life that can otherwise undercut a good marriage.
Can there be any conclusions drawn about just the shared experience of husband and wife and optimally, I suppose, children regularly going to do something together, and in this case, attending a worship service, something of profound import, when we look at the dissolution of other family activities, people in families doing things together?
Yeah, I mean, what we do know is that families who pray together, who play together, you know, who have dinner together, are more likely to be flourishing in a whole range of different outcomes. So I think if you're religious, you can kind of take some heart from this research. If you're not religious, I think it's important to understand and acknowledge that shared activities, shared rituals, shared traditions that you kind of make up as a family for your family, you know, special things you might do on a Friday night or a Sunday afternoon or a Saturday morning, you know, or that special kind of summer vacation that you know, where you do certain things. These things are all kind of part of the fabric of a successful family life. And that's, I think, a takeaway for people who are not church-going from this kind of work as well.
In a general sense, just as you look at the landscape of marriage and the family in America, I wonder whether or not you might see in this research at least some indication or evidence of a growing marriage gap that may go along with a spiritual gap. People who are less involved spiritually will also experience less stable marriages and a gap between those who do and those who don't.
Well, we do see a marriage gap in America along class lines. And by that, I mean that people who are college educated today are more likely to stay married, whereas their less educated fellow citizens, working class and poor Americans, are more likely to get divorced. They're also more likely to not get married in the first time and have a kid outside of wedlock. So this is a growing class divide in American life. And it's unfortunate because, among other things, it leaves both adults and kids and working class and poor communities doubly disadvantaged because, you know, marriage provides a range of social and emotional and economic benefits to adults and kids who are in a, you know, a stably married family as well. So, you know, this marriage gap is, you know, is troubling, and I hope that we can identify public policies and cultural messages to close the gap.
Finally, then, many millennials of that generation, they're cynical, they're skeptical deeply about marriage. What kind of advice can this new study offer to them?
Well, I would say moving slowly into a relationship is a wise idea, but, you know, looking for someone with whom you can, you know, commit, because, you know, the alternatives for, you know, for the average person aren't great. I mean, being single, deliberately so anyways, or cohabiting, you know, just doesn't compare when it comes to the emotional security, the financial, you know, cooperation, and, you know, all those kinds of benefits that we associate with marriage. So marriage is certainly tough and difficult, but it's the sort of, for most of us, it's the best alternative, you know, available to us.
Dr. Brad Wilcox is Senior Fellow for the Institute for Family Studies in Charlottesville, Virginia. He's Director of the National Marriage Project at the University of Virginia, co-editor of Gender and Parenthood, Biological and Social Scientific Perspectives. You'll find a link to the Institute for Family Studies at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Dr. Wilcox, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks for having me on tonight.
We're going to expand a little bit on the issue of health when we come back from this break. There's a new Centers for Disease Control study on the health risks of sexually active versus sexually inactive teens. Glenn Stanton of Focus on the Family will be our guest.
Are you tired of working out at big box gyms? You'll find quality personal training and qualified instruction at Performance Fitness in Edwardsville. You can even work out for a full 30 days before making a commitment to join. Find out more at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. Performancefitness618.com.
Folks, we have 5 weeks left in 2016, and we need $105,000 to cover our expenses for the year. Please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift to support this worldwide outreach. You can contribute by check, make your check payable to Issues, etc., and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of us at the end of 2016.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran Learning. Issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Christmas is a holy day, not just an ordinary holiday. It's when we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, our Savior. That's why Emmanuel Press keeps Jesus as the focus of all their Christmas cards. And that's why they use the words of Scripture and the poetry of hymns inside the cards to confess our hope in Christ. Visit their website at emmanuelpress.us to see a variety of cards, including a brand new card for 2016. EmmanuelPress.us.